Welcome to this launch of the Global Status Report on Road Safety. I'm Christy Feig, the Director of Communications here. And we're going to try something a little bit fancy with our virtual press conference today, so bear with us if things get a little tricky. We'll get it where it needs to be. We've got three people talking. Two of them are here in the room, and one is on the phone. We have Dr. Margaret Chan, the Director General of WHO here, Dr. Etienne Krug, the Director of the Department of the Management of Noncommunicable Diseases, Disability, Violence, and Injury Prevention here at WHO, and we have Mr. Michael Bloomberg, the founder of Bloomberg Philanthropies and a three-term mayor of New York City, joining us by phone. We'll start with a comment from each of the three of them. I'll start with the Director General, then we'll go to Mr. Bloomberg, and then we'll go to Dr. Krug. And I know we are going to lose Dr. Chan very quickly on because she has another obligation in about 10 minutes, and she's losing her voice. But let me start with her very quickly, and then we'll move on from there. Dr. Chan.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning to you, Mike, and from London, and also to Dr. Etienne Krug. Let me say how delighted I am to launch the Global Status Report on Road Safety 2015 together with Michael Bloomberg. Without his unwavering commitment to road safety and his foundation's generous financial support, this report would not have been possible. Using data drawn from 180 countries, the report shows that the annual number of deaths from road traffic crashes is stabilizing. And this is the good news, especially given the rapid increase in the number of motor vehicles worldwide. The report tells us that road safety strategies save lives. Countries that have had the most success in reducing road traffic deaths have done so by improving legislation and implementation and making roads and vehicles safer. But the report also tells us that the pace of progress is too slow. The death toll is still way too high. Road traffic crashes claim 1.25 million lives a year. They are the number one killer among those aged 15 and 25 years of age. The report shows a strong association between a country's level of economic development and the risk of dying on the roads. Low and middle income countries account for 90% of road traffic deaths, despite having just about 54% of the world's vehicles. Europe has the lowest death rates, Africa the highest. Last month, I was in New York, where heads of state adopted the Agenda for Sustainable Development. The agenda includes a road safety target of reducing by 50% the number of road traffic deaths by 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truly an ambitious target, but also a critically important one. Apart from reducing the number of road fatalities and injuries, making roads safer will help address many other barriers to sustainable development. Urban megacities are confronted with problems of congestions, declines in physical activity, increased emissions, and associated respiratory problems. Many cities have realized the value of promoting safe walking and cycling and use of public transport. How people move around is being rethought in several progressive cities, but less so in middle and low-income countries where improvements are needed most. Motorcyclists are particularly vulnerable, accounting for 23% of all road traffic deaths. Pedestrians account for 22%, and cyclists for 4% of all road traffic deaths. This calls for more planning on how vehicles and people can safely share roads. Real sustained success in reducing road traffic deaths will happen only when transport planners take into consideration the needs of all road users. Infrastructure remains a critical challenge for safer roads. In addition, better laws are needed on speed, drinking and driving, and the use of motorcycle helmets, seat belts, and child restraints. The report charts improvements in the use of legislation, but enforcement of these laws remain weak in many countries. The SDG target of a 50% reduction in road traffic deaths by 2020 offers a wonderful and a powerful focus for galvanizing actions by governments and the international community. The challenge now is to seize this opportunity to turn the current plateau in road deaths into a real decline. On that, I thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Chan. Now we're going to turn to Mr. Bloomberg on the phone from London. Mr. Bloomberg, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Margaret, thank you very much, and thanks to everyone on the call for joining us. As we all know, road safety is an issue that hasn't gotten anywhere near the attention that it deserves, and it really is one of our great opportunities to save lives. Traffic crashes are something like the ninth leading cause of death in the world, and as Dr. Chan mentioned, but I think it bears repeating, they are the number one cause of death for people aged 15 to 29. So if you think about it, young people who are just about to become adults and have a great life, or have their lives cut short, and it's really not needed, not necessary. We could do something better. Many young people are dying in the prime of their lives, and their families are being torn apart. And the fact is that every one of those deaths really is preventable. We know that progress is possible on road safety. It's something we saw firsthand in New York City. And by making the streets safer for pedestrians and safer for cyclists and motorcyclists, we're able to reduce traffic fatalities in New York City to historical lows, and we think that's doable around the world. And that's why since 2007, Bloomberg Philanthropies has committed more than $250 million U.S. to help low- and middle-income countries adopt effective road safety measures like smarter road infrastructure and stronger traffic laws and better enforcement of those laws. And we've certainly been glad to count the World Health Organization as a partner in this effort. And I will say the results have been encouraging, as Margaret laid out. In the past 6 years, 17 countries have implemented best-in-class road safety laws, covering something like half a billion people. Half a billion people, 500 million people is an awful lot of people who have a better chance of leading healthy lives and not getting killed early in life. And that's one reason why traffic deaths are leveling off, even as populations grow along with the number of vehicles on the road. But the fact is we need to do a lot more, and there's no reason why we shouldn't. A lot of effective interventions are relatively inexpensive, for instance, requiring that motorcycle riders wear helmets. I remember back in 2007, together with the WHO and others, Bloomberg Philanthropies helped Vietnam pass a national law requiring motorcycle helmets. Before the law, less than half of riders wore helmets. Now around 95% do. I was in Hanoi about a year ago, and it's really quite striking. Almost everybody that passed had a helmet on, and that makes an enormous difference if you have an accident and fall off. Head injuries are what generally kills people on motorcycles when they have a crash. There are also many other low-cost ways to make dangerous roads safer, such as building dedicated bicycle lanes and improving street lighting, just to name two of them. We also need to keep gathering data, and that's the purpose of this report. The data it compiles let us know where crashes occur most frequently and why, and what countries have made policy progress on road safety. And this data allows us to target resources to prevent more deaths, and it holds us accountable for results. So I think it's fair to say we help that will also help encourage others to join in this work. As Dr. Chan pointed out, this year the UN made significant progress towards reducing road safety deaths by making a sustainable development goal for the first time. Reducing road deaths by 50% would save something like 600,000 lives every single year. So it really can make an enormous difference, and that would be a huge victory for public health. And it is within reach, because we all know more than ever that what we have to do to reach that goal, we know what to do. but we need governments and nonprofits and the public to make safer roads a priority. So I did want to thank Dr. Chan and the WHO for their continued partnership and for the successful launch of this critical country-by-country data on road safety. And I'm going off to another meeting to work on having mayors get together and understand what they can do in their cities on road safety. I just want to thank everybody for their help, and this is something that if we work together, we can make an enormous difference in so many people's lives. And thank you all for everything you've done, but we still have a lot to go. So thank you very much.
This is Margaret. I just want to thank you for your continuing leadership in so many important areas in public health, and road safety is just one of those. Without your support, you know, we will not be able to see this, improvement so far. But as you said, we must make the plateau a real decline going forward. Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome, Margaret. You're a role model for all of us. So thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Bloomberg. And Dr. Chan, you can slip out whenever you need to for your next meeting as well. Let's go into the meat of the report a bit more with Dr. Etienne Krug.
Thank you, Dr. Chan, and thank you, Mr. Bloomberg. And good morning to all of you. As Dr. Chan and Mr. Bloomberg said, 1,250,000 people die every year on the roads. The good news is that this is a plateau, because if you compare this to a 16% increase in vehicles over the last 3 years and a 4% increase in population, this is indeed an improvement. However, it continues to be a hugely important and large number. And we're not talking about some kind of mysterious virus or bacteria that we don't know how to deal with. We are talking about a man-made disaster. We are talking about an enormous price for our transportation of people and goods. The results actually are mixed, because we see roughly half of the countries improving, but the other half of the countries getting worse. Exactly 68 countries have seen an increase and 79 a decrease. Most of those countries seeing an increase in their number of deaths are located in lower income countries, the highest rates being in Africa, followed by the Middle East. Africa has only 2% of the world's vehicles, but has the highest death rate on the road. Some countries, such as Sweden, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, etc., have managed to decrease their road death rate by over 80% in the last decades by implementing a set of well-known measures. We're talking about improving legislation and enforcing it, particularly on the key risk factors such as speed, drinking and driving, the use of motorcycle helmets, seat belts, and child restraints. We're talking about improving the quality of vehicles, and we're talking about improving the quality of infrastructure and trauma care after the crash. Unfortunately, these measures are only happening, or mainly happening, in high-income and upper-middle-income countries. Those countries that are rapidly changing and evolving, seeing a rapid economic development, are not necessarily following that with the necessary safety measures. Over the last 3 years, as the new global status report on road safety shows, 17 countries have improved their legislation. So that's encouraging. They've addressed issues around drinking and driving, speeding, motorcycle helmets, seat belts, and child restraints. However, many countries still report that the enforcement of existing legislation is extremely weak. In fact, the majority of countries tell us that they're not enforcing well the laws that are in place. So that's another big area for improvement that the report focuses on. The report also looked at vehicles, because in the last year, 67 million new passenger cars have been produced. This is a huge number, and a lot of gains could be made if those cars were up to the best possible safety standards. Unfortunately, they're not. Today, only 40 countries are implementing the safety measures according to the UN regulations. We're talking about some rather simple and basic things, such as seat belts, such as front impact regulation, such as electric stability control, etc. That means the vast majority of cars being produced around the world are still not up to the best safety standards. Very often in many places, the safety of vehicles is sacrificed in order to have improvements in prices, which would make the cars more affordable. Finally, the report also looked at the sustainable transport issues. With that, we'd mean the promotion of public transportation, as well as walking and cycling, which we know, of course, are healthier modes of transportation. Only half of the countries today have policies that promote walking and cycling. And only half of the countries do separate vulnerable road users, such as those who walk and cycle, from the rest of high-speed traffic. There again, a lot of gains could be made. Should walking and cycling become much safer by separating pedestrians and cyclists from the rest of transport, we could have huge health gains, not only in the prevention of death and injury on the road, but also in improvements of air pollution, in improvements of risk factors for non-communicable diseases, etc. I'll finish just by mentioning that this report is launched today with a purpose. We're just 1 month ahead of a global ministerial conference on road safety, which will take place on 18 and 19 November in Brasilia, Brazil. Ministers from around the world will gather there to discuss the conclusions of this report and how the report can serve as a platform to accelerate progress and implement the Sustainable Development Goal on road safety, which aims at a reduction of 50% of road deaths by 2020. Thank you very much.
And it's an ambitious goal. Thank you very much, Dr. Krug. And thanks for outlining some of the ways that we can get closer to that. We're going to open the floor for questions now. I think we've got some reporters on the phone. And for those, you can hit 01 to get in a queue to ask a question. And I will start to see if there's any questions here in the room. Yes, go ahead. If you could tell us who you are with and your name.
I'm Ishiguro of Yomiuri Shimbun, Japanese newspaper. I have a question about the statistics which is attached to today's report. And if I see that, it looks that China had the biggest number of road traffic fatality in 2013, and the number is 261,000 people died. But this is the estimate of WHO, and the official Chinese report says that it is 62,000 around. What is the reason of this big discrepancy? It is because of the underreporting by China, or there are other reasons? And second question is the fatality per 100,000 people, that Thailand has the highest number, even higher than the other African countries. You mentioned that's a big fatality rate. It is 36.2. What is the reason why Thailand has such a high number?
Well, thank you. Underreporting of road traffic deaths and injuries is a problem all over the world. It happens in almost every country, but it is more important in some countries than others. It has to do with, on one hand, the lack of efforts in collecting data. On the other hand, the types of definitions that are used. And so WHO systematically makes estimates to try to adjust to underreporting. An issue in data collection also has to do with the source of data collection. There are big discrepancies between data collected by police or ministries of transport or data collected by the health sector. Even the health sector in China, for example, since you mentioned China, has a much higher number than the one that is reported by public security. So WHO has made an adjustment for most countries in the world in terms to try to account for this underreporting, and these are the results that are published in the report. Thailand is a very interesting country where, indeed, the numbers are high, but also a lot of efforts are being made lately to try to address it. After the last global status report 3 years ago, Thailand initially was not in agreement with the numbers WHO has published until it did its own study to try to verify it. And it combined data from insurance, from police, from the health sector, and arrived at almost exactly the same estimates that WHO had arrived at, recognizing that it was underestimating its numbers and starting to take action. There is a lot to do all over the world, including in Thailand, in terms of strengthening still legislation, improving enforcement of legislation all over the country, working on infrastructure and vehicles. But having been recently in Thailand to work with the government and the city of Bangkok, we know that efforts are taking place to improve the situation.
Okay. Any other questions here in the room before we go to the phone? Stephanie?
Yes, Rogers. Can you address the issues in...
Laura, can you give her the microphone? If you can repeat the question, because the microphone wasn't on the whole time.
So the first question was about the United States, and the second about the countries that are backsliding or getting worse. The United States is a complicated, if I could say, case in the sense that the legislation is made or differs from state to state, and therefore it is hard to make conclusions that talk about the entire country. However, if we take into account that fact, indeed, on many legislative aspects, the United States is not up to the best standards. If we talk about speed, if we talk about drinking and driving, motorcycle helmet wearing, for example, there are many states in the United States where the legislation is not up to the best standards that we promote in this new global status report on road safety. And therefore, the United States can do better in improving its legislation on many of the key risk factors still. In terms of the countries that you mentioned are, what did you use the word, backsliding? I'd say the highest rates of death on the road are found in Africa, followed by the Middle East, where most of the countries are rapidly motorizing, new roads are being built, cars are taking the road, new drivers are taking the road on a daily basis. And unfortunately, while this can help with development, it is often not accompanied with the best safety measures. And you see examples of villages where there used to be a dirt road and kids would be able to walk to school on a daily basis very safely because no car could go faster than 20 kilometers per hour. When this road is paved and suddenly cars speed through the village at 100 kilometers per hour, it's a totally different ballgame. Unfortunately, this is often not accompanied with safety measures. It is not accompanied with ways for children to cross those roads safely or simply paved sidewalks in order to allow them to go to school safely. And that's where we see often disasters.
Could you be more specific about where on the continent... Can you be more specific where on the continent of Africa you are, you know, most concerned about the levels of traffic deaths?
Frankly, we're not most concerned about one or other aspect of the continent because it is an issue that affects all countries in Africa, the Middle East. In the Middle East particularly, we see the interesting phenomenon that the high-income countries in the Middle East have higher death rates than some of the lower and middle-income countries. So it's an indication that with development, the safety measures are not following, and that's where an effort needs to be made.
We're going to go ahead and go to some questions on the phone. Again, if you're on the phone and you'd like to get in the queue, hit 01 on your phone, and we will have an audio recording, just so everybody knows, up of this press conference shortly after it concludes. Let's start with Anne Goland from the BMJ.
Thanks for taking my question. You touched on it very slightly, Dr. Krug. I'm just wondering how much of these high death rates are down to poor health systems as well as legislation. You said that in the UK and Sweden, for example, there have been improvements in trauma care. So how much of it is the fact that if you do have an accident in some of these poorer African countries, then the actual care you're going to get isn't going to be that great?
Indeed, response after the crash is another important element of the road safety system. And in many countries, there's no organized system where people can be rapidly attended to, where there is a unique call-in number, where people are trained to respond to road crashes etc. And this contributes to the mortality due to road traffic crashes. In fact, studies have shown that half of deaths from injuries could be avoided if we had around the world systems up to the best standards for responding to road traffic crashes. And that does not necessarily need to be expensive. Very often the assumption is that we need more helicopters and very fancy ambulances. In fact, a very basic ambulance with minimum equipment and people who are trained in simple measures could do a lot of good.
Right. Okay, thank you.
One more question on the phone from James Dallin. James, if you could tell us what media outlet you are with.
Yes, I'm with DMI, Development Media International. I was just interested to know the extent to which there may be a role for mass media campaigns to raise awareness of road safety, the general public in low and middle-income countries. I wondered if the report touched on that at all, if it included any sort of impact evaluations of mass media campaigns.
The report talks about the importance of mass media campaigns. It's important to put this in perspective. Mass media campaigns can have an important role. However, very often they are wrongly used and they're used in isolation. A mass media campaign by itself does not make much difference for road safety. This has been shown repeatedly. However, mass media campaigns can be useful to support efforts around legislation and enforcement. If enforcement of a new law on drinking and driving or speeding, for example, is accompanied by a mass media campaign to make people aware of the law and of the enforcement efforts, that's very helpful and is an important contributing factor to road safety.
Great, thank you very much. Thank you.
Any other questions on the phone, Chris? Any other questions in the room? All right, then. Dr. Krug, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good luck with your work to cut road safety, road deaths in half by 2020. All right, thanks for your time. The report is available if anyone needs it. The audio recording of this press conference will be posted shortly at the end of this press conference. And again, thanks for your interest.